As Jesus was dying on the cross, John's Gospel records a really interesting moment. Jesus is being crucified, and John tells us that one of the things Jesus is concerned about is his mum. From what we can tell, Joseph had died before Jesus' ministry began, so Mary was a widow. We know from the Gospels that Mary and Joseph had other children. In fact, one of them was James. James became a leader in the early church, and the book of James in the New Testament, it was written by him. And so Mary is a widow. Jesus is the eldest son. He's the head of his family. And as he dies, he makes sure his mum is looked after. This is what John's biography of Jesus says. It's from chapter 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, that's a way of talking about John, standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now this raises some questions. Why does John look after Mary and not one of her own children? We don't know the answer. I could guess, but it would just be a guess. But what we see here is Jesus and John putting godliness into practice. The Bible says caring for the weak and vulnerable is high on God's agenda. Deuteronomy 10:18 says, "God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing." God loves refugees. God loves migrants. God loves orphans and widows. God cares for and protects those at the bottom. And we saw the effect of God's love for those at the bottom a few weeks back in Amos. Amos doesn't pull his punches. The centre of his message to Israel is, because you've oppressed the poor, because you've charged them too many taxes and not paid them a fair wage, because you haven't shown God's love for the weak and vulnerable, God is going to punish you. Jesus shows us God cares for those who are weak and vulnerable. The care he has for those who are physically poor reflects his grace to those of us who are spiritually poor. When it comes to salvation, all of us are poor. When it comes to righteousness, all of us are poor, which is why we need God's mercy and grace. Well, there's something similar to that with God's special concern for those who are physically poor and vulnerable. And so the Bible tells us you can see whether someone is truly following Jesus, not by how passionately they sing at church, not by how many committees they serve on, but on how they care for orphans, refugees, and widows. In fact, Jesus' brother James says exactly this. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Last week we heard about training in godliness. Physical training has short-term value. Training in godliness is training for eternity. Well, what's one of the godliness exercises that we need to be training for? Well, it's this. It's caring for widows. And this is what the first part of 1 Timothy 5 is all about. It's a challenge for us as a church to live out God's concern for widows. Now, as we look at 1 Timothy 5, we need to remember the reason Paul's writing this letter. It's the key verse of 1 Timothy. It's chapter 3, verse 15, which says, "Paul's writing so you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household." Sure, we should know this verse off by heart by now. We've been coming back to it again and again. The church is family. It's God's family. And because church is family, relationships matter. We relate to family differently from how we relate to neighbours or people at work. At work, relationships are mainly impacted by where you sit in the structure. What matters is whether you're a first-year apprentice or the managing director. If someone comes in as an apprentice and they're 50 years old, you're down the bottom of the pile, even if the managing director is just some 20-something who knows nothing. Age doesn't matter in the workplace. What matters is where you sit in the structure of things. But in family, age and gender matters. And because church is God's family, it matters in church. And so have a listen to how it matters in chapter 5, verse 1. So have a look in your Bible there, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Now these two verses are like a heading. In the next chapter, we dive deep into some of these relationships, and especially the older men and older women. And today we're going to hear what God says about treating older women as mothers, and particularly older women who are widowed. And God's command is Christians are to honour widows. In verse 3, the words translated give proper recognition can also be translated as honour. And this is important because what we're going to be talking about today in this passage is obviously about money. It's about giving food and clothing and physical care for widows who are in need. But what this chapter is actually talking about is a lot more than just charity or social care. It's relational, it's family. And recognising this at the start is going to help us as we go through this passage, which actually on one level is very simple. But when you look at it, there's a few things in it you go, wow, that's a bit of a harsh way of putting it. But if we remember that this is not actually a passage about crisis care and about charity, but about family and about honour, I think it helps us to understand some of those things. So have a listen to verse 3. Give proper recognition or honour to those widows who are really in need. Now, as we saw at the start, this is close to the heart of God. God defends the orphan, the refugee, the widow. And core to godliness is reflecting God's heart. And the first way God says for us to care for those in need is we are to care for widows in our own biological family. Verse 4, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. Not only is this pleasing to God, but when Christians don't care for their own family, they're showing their heart isn't shaped by God's heart. And it raises the question, do you really know and love God? Verse 7. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Hard words. It's not all we hear in this passage. Surprisingly for the ancient world, this practice of godliness, of caring for widows, is not something just for men who are the heads of households in the ancient world. This is actually something that Christian women should do. It's a way that Christian women show godliness by caring for their own family. So jump down to verse 16. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. In the ancient world, women generally didn't have financial independence. When a husband died, the wife didn't show up in the will. She didn't get any inheritance. There was no superannuation or life assurance for her. What happened was the father, the husband's assets went to his sons. And it was expected that the eldest son would take mum into the family, into his family. And if the eldest son couldn't do that, or if there were no children, the widow would be cared for by her biological family, so maybe by a brother or an uncle. The Bible says part of the godly way of showing honour to widows is to do what was normal in society, care for your own family. Now part of the reason for this is practical. We're about to hear that the church as a whole is to look after widows. And verse 16 shows us when believers look after their own family, it means that the church as a whole can focus on women who are completely alone and without. But this isn't really about the budget. Paul is no economic rationalist. The issue is godliness. God is concerned with godliness. And if you're not concerned with your own family, if you can't even be bothered to share with your own flesh and blood, well, it shows how hard your heart is. Think about the Ten Commandments. Commandment number 5 is, honour your father and your mother. Honouring the widows in your family is just an extension of this. Jesus also has some really hard words for people who use religion to get around caring for ageing parents and widows. This is from Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus is taking on the Pharisees who've made up this rule. The rule is, if you put some of your money in a special bank account and you say that this money is korban, which means devoted to God, then you don't have to look after your parents. And Jesus says about this in Mark chapter 7 verse 13, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. Not caring for those in need in our own families, widows, aging parents, uncles, aunties, is wicked in God's eyes. And on the flip side, when we do care for our own, it's training in godliness. And so the first way Christians are to honour widows is to care for the widows and the others like them who are in our own families. But what about those widows who don't have any family? Maybe they were unable to have children, or they've become Christians and they've been rejected by their children, or they're not widows in the really technical sense, but a woman who's never married and has no family. How do we honour them? Well, remember 1 Timothy 3:15, a woman in this situation is not familyless. They have a family. It's God's family. It's church. And so the whole church is to be her family. Where to take them in? And if you look at verse 9, it seems that in Ephesus, the church has a system. They had a list of widows they were caring for. In Acts chapter 6, we see the church in Jerusalem. They had this system of giving food to widows every day, and maybe this list was something like that. Now, Paul says there must be limits and conditions for being on this list. And at first glance, these limits seem really hard. But once again, the issue is godliness. Everything is being done to promote and encourage training in godliness. So if you have a look at verse 5, the widow who deserves honour is one who is devoted to God, who is trusting God to provide everything she needs. That's the widow who is to be honoured, not the one who is living a self-centred or self-indulgent life. So verse 5, the widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Now this might sound really harsh. And sadly, some of the way Christians, especially middle class Christians, some of the ways we talk about charity and caring for those in need is stingy and snobby. You hear people saying, well, why do we give her any money? All she does is use it to buy pretty things. Or don't give anything to that homeless beggar, they'll just spend it on drink and drugs. Now, we've got to be careful our helping doesn't hurt. But I wonder if often what is happening here is we're just being snobs. We think that we know what a poor person should spend their money on. And so when we see a refugee has a mobile phone, we get all self-righteous. How can they afford something like that, instead of realising that's their lifeline? And so we look at verse 6 and we think, well, God agrees with my judgmental snobbery. But that is not what is going on here. The issue, as always in this passage, is godliness and eternity. The church is to honour those growing in godliness and not those who are becoming spiritually dead. And so if you jump down to verse 9, we get a full picture of a person who is to be put on the list of widows. Verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Now, we're going to see why age is a factor in a moment, but as you can see, the rest of the list, it's about godliness, isn't it? The church, Christians, you and me, we are to honour godly widows. And this list, we aren't given the details, but reading between the lines, it seems that being on this list was an agreement with the enlisted widows that the church would be her family. It would provide all her needs until the day she died. But looking at these conditions, does this mean that only the most exceptionally godly women got anything? And if you don't make this cut, then you are left to rot. Is God saying that churches shouldn't help those in need in our community? No. And one of the things we've got to remember is what we think of as church isn't quite the Bible's understanding. The word has been kind of manipulated over the last 2,000 years. Church back in Timothy's time wasn't an institution. It didn't have assets and buildings and a sign out the front. It was family. It met in family homes. I can't imagine a random needy widow knocking on the door of this church asking for help. I mean, what would she knock on? Maybe the neighbours of Christians would have seen how they were different, how they love one another, and as neighbours, they may have asked a Christian for help before they asked pagans because they'd seen the way they love one another. But there is no institution, no charity to go knocking on the door of. And also, this passage actually isn't talking about helping widows outside the church. The question of this passage is not who should receive our charity, but who deserves honour, who receives family support. And we're told that those who get family support, those who are honoured as mothers, are the godly needy widows. And so in verse 11 we see there's a particular type of widow who shouldn't be put on the list, but should be encouraged to train in godliness in other ways. And in Ephesus, this was the younger widows, those under 60. And for these, Paul suggests they remarry and live as godly women in their new family. Verse 11. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. Now once again, this sounds harsh the first time you hear it. The language of you're breaking a pledge, you're following Satan, it's pretty serious. Just because someone doesn't get married and they're under 60. Got to remember two things. First, I think the list was an agreement for family support from the church until the day you die. And so if you got put on the list and then changed your mind, well, there is a certain pledge you've broken. But I think there's more to it than this. Remember in Ephesus there were false teachers. And these false teachers were telling people, don't get married. They were probably saying that sex and marriage and looking after kids, that's below us because we're living a spiritual life. We don't need that icky, yucky, earthly stuff anymore. And so I reckon these younger widows, the reason they're not wanting to get married isn't because they're devoted to the Lord Jesus and devoted to his gospel. It's not because there are no eligible blokes around. It's because they're listening to the false teachers who tell them, don't get married. They go, oh, okay, won't get married then. And then with all of their free time, because they're on this list and they're being supported by the church financially, with their free time, they're going to people's houses and spreading the false teaching. And so by encouraging marriage, it nips the false teaching in the bud, which, as we keep saying, is Paul's ultimate goal, godliness. It encourages godliness, not only the godliness of actually raising family and raising and looking after children, which the false teachers were saying was ungodly, but it stops the godliness of spreading that false teaching. This is Paul's goal, knowing Jesus in the gospel, living for Jesus wholeheartedly. And so what is the way to honour widows? First, honour widows in your physical family by caring for them and second, honour godly widows in God's family by caring for them and encouraging them in godliness. So what about us? How are we going at honouring widows? Now, our context is different. Our economy is different. There are different economic realities for women in 2018 compared to the first century. But I reckon we are just excusing laziness and godlessness if we say, well, women can earn an income and they can have their own super and they benefit from their husband's super and his life assurance if he dies, and therefore we don't have to worry about what God says. At the very least, this is laziness. And more, I think it's what verse 6 says is spiritual death. Verse 6 isn't talking about that. I think, though, it's a similar spiritual death. We're just being lazy and possibly selfish. We are God's family. Our relationships are not based on economics, but on love. And we are to honour widows. So first up, in our families. If you have older folk in your families, parents, uncles, aunties, part of your training in godliness, part of the way you lift those godliness weights is to care for them. If that means bringing them into your home, because otherwise they would be alone, a quarter of people in Gympie live by themselves, all sorts of different reasons, but some of them it's because they are widows. If it means bringing those widows, those other people who are alone, into your home, do it. If it means going to their home and helping out or being their driver, do it. If it means blocking out time in your calendar so each week you have a meal with them or a phone call, do it. I'm sure you are much more creative than me. There are other ways you can honour the widows or widowers in your family. But I know for me, when my grandmother, that was my last surviving grandparent, was alive, I only lived a little way from her. She was very offended when I didn't spend a time each week with her. And when we started locking that into the calendar and actually having a meal with her each week, she felt the love. She felt the honour. What about in your family? And don't use the "I'm too busy at work or at church" to get out of doing this. What does God say? Verse 8. That is worse than being an unbeliever. Not honouring the widows and those who are alone in your family, those who are in need in your family, God has some very serious words for that. So care for those who are in need in your own family. And secondly, in our church, we must not outsource honour. It's easy for us to say, well, you know, there's an old age pension, and that's what the biggest portion of my taxes pay for, so I'm already paying for older people. Job done. Or it's easy for us to say, we've got Prez Care, which runs aged care facilities and in-home care. There you go, looked after, but you cannot outsource godliness. There are fantastic things our government does, and they're something we should be thankful for. The reason we have pensions and the like has a Christian worldview in the background. There are things aged care providers do, and they're fantastic. We should be thankful for them. But the problem is we lean on these things that other people are doing, and it makes us flabby Christians. We are not training in godliness ourselves. We are not being the household God has called us to be. And so maybe in many cases the need for financial care is less, but if it's there, we're God's family. We should be quick to honour widows by paying their bills. Though I think that's not as common these days, but if it's there, we need to do it. I reckon there are other practical things that we can be doing to care for the widows in our congregation like their family would. Give someone a lift to church. Give them a lift to the doctors. Take them a meal or help out around their home. Probably the biggest thing is loneliness. Lifeline says that 60% of Australians feel lonely. 82% of us think that loneliness is becoming a growing issue in our situation. And for those who are widows or widowers, it's going to be a big issue, isn't it? So one of the ways we honour widows and widowers is with our time. Visit. Listen. Especially shut-ins or people in aged care facilities, include them in your family. Especially if they don't have family nearby or if they've been rejected by their family because they bear Christ's name. Now, it's not something which we shout from the rooftops, but I know that this is something that some of us are doing. There are people in here who've invited those who are going to be alone at Christmas, invited them to be with their family on Christmas Day. But it doesn't need to be an occasion. Just invite someone to come over for a cuppa or a meal and include them in your family. But in all of this, we've got to approach it in the right way. This isn't charity, or it's not us doing our social work or our good deed. It's family, isn't it? The church is God's household. In Christ, the godly widow is our mum and deserves our love and honour. And this is something followers of Jesus have done right from the start. John took Mary, Jesus' mum, and she became to him like his own mother. Why do followers of Jesus do this? Because when we care for needy and vulnerable people, we're reflecting the heart of God. So let's pray. Our Father God, we praise you for being our loving Heavenly Father. You are the God who cares for the orphan, the widow, the refugee. And all of us are so grateful for this because it's the same merciful heart that means you are the God who forgives sinners and welcomes them into your family. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Please help us to reflect your mercy and grace. Help our church to be a genuine family. Help us to not use economics or busyness as an excuse for godlessness. Convict us when we ignore or overlook those in need. Convict us of our selfishness and greed. Change our hearts so they are like yours. Help us to be people who honour godly people in need who are in our families and in our church family. We ask this, that Jesus may be glorified in all we do. Amen.